The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. A lot of people say that eternal salvation is by grace alone through faith alone. Then they talk about getting in a wheelbarrow or sitting in a chair. What does faith alone really mean, and what is the exact object of faith in regard to eternal salvation? I hope you'll stay tuned at the end of the broadcast. I'll give you more information about the Grace Evangelical Society. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. The email for more information and to register is gesclass@yahoo.com. I'll repeat this and give you a little more information at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
I have a question here from Jeff, and he says, can you help me with a question about something David Renfro and you discussed? What did an Old Testament saint need to believe in order to acquire eternal salvation? And David was talking about a friend who had witnessed to a Jewish rabbi. He was talking to him about Daniel 9, 24 to 27, and David said that this rabbi was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't want to believe in Jesus. Jeff went on to say that there's a strain of thought that he's heard before where people say, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. I need to want to have the salvation which he offers. I remember I heard a story that was taught at a Bible college where the question was asked, a young man was confronted with the message of Christ. Christ died for our sins. He removed the sin barrier. He rose from the dead. And if we believe in him, we're saved forever. And he said, you know what? My parents have died, and I know they're in hell, and I want to spend eternity with my parents. So since they're in hell, I want to spend eternity there. And so, even though I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again, I choose not to receive the gift of everlasting life. I've heard that illustration before, and it's basically what Jeff's asking about. And it doesn't really make sense, does it, to you, Ken?
No, that seems very bizarre to me. We were talking a little bit about this before this. I said it almost sounds like they're trying to make this distinction as well that we've heard many times before about the guy who walks across the Niagara Falls.
Blondin, and he's got a wheelbarrow.
Well, wheelbarrow.
Says, which of you believe I can take a man across in this wheelbarrow? And they're all shouting, I do.
Because he's taking an empty wheelbarrow back and forth
right,
or something. Right.
And then he puts like a couple hundred pounds worth of rocks in it and says, can I do it with a man? And they're like, yeah. And then he points at one of the ones that's shouting and says, okay, you get in. And the illustration goes, if you don't get into the barrel, you're not safe.
Yeah, and then the question is, what is getting in the wheelbarrow? What does that mean for someone who hears the gospel?
Basically what people say, and I've heard this, Ken, even by people who profess to hold to free grace theology, and they will say, it's not enough to believe in Jesus, you also need to trust in him.
And so where this leads to then is getting into the wheelbarrow or sitting in the chair. Do you believe that chair will support you?
Right.
That's the other illustration.
Or the lifeboat or the plane.
Where that's leading to, it seems to me, well, then you have to make some kind of commitment. That's what that means. Are you willing to commit your life to him? And I know they would say, some of them would say, no, that's not what I mean. But it seems to me that's the logical conclusion of that.
I think it is. And here's the other thing. Haven't we often heard that trust and faith are synonyms?
Mm-hmm.
And so people prefer to say, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or have you trusted in Christ for everlasting life? That's potentially confusing. But I'll tell you when it's beyond potentially confusing is when you say it's not enough to believe, you also have to trust. Now, whatever trust is, it's not the same as believing, right?
Exactly right.
It's got to be something else. I've heard lots of people, they'll say, it's not enough to believe the facts. You've got to now trust Jesus. And what that leads to is lack of assurance.
And I would have another question there. If that's the case, then why doesn't the Bible use the word trust? Why does John use believe 100 times and doesn't use the word trust?
The answer is because God wants us to tell people to believe in Jesus, and if they do, they have everlasting life. In John 3:16, it doesn't say whoever believes in him and then trusts in him has everlasting life. It says whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. If we add this second layer, whatever that second layer is, we're denying John 3:16. Don't most unbelievers believe in some form of work salvation?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you tell them it's not enough to believe, do they say, I agree or I disagree?
Oh, yeah, they would say they agree. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Right.
So then when you say you've also got to trust, they're going to go, okay, yeah, believing is obviously not enough. So what else do I need to do? What is this trust? Is it some sort of commitment? Is it surrender? Is it a promise to obey? And they're going to read a lot of these things in there. But let's come back to the way Jeff related it. Let's say the person says, okay, I believe, but I don't want it, so I don't have it. Then what that tells me is the person doesn't believe.
That's what I would say as
right?
well.
Because if John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him has everlasting life, and I ask you, Ken, do you believe in Jesus? And you say yes.
Yes, yes.
So what do you have?
And then if you say, well, I don't have it.
Then I would say, then you don't believe that's true. And you would say, well, of course I do. And so when the person says, I believe it, but I don't want it, so I don't have it. What they should be saying is, you know what? I believe it, and I'm stuck with it. I don't want it, but I know I've got it.
Right.
If a person actually believes what John 3:16 says, then he knows he has everlasting life, even if he doesn't want it. In fact, I've often joked this way. Let's say that your friends and loved ones are all unbelievers. You have come to faith. You don't want to spend eternity apart from your friends and loved ones, but you know you have everlasting life. What in the world can you do? How about I go witness to my family and friends? Because I can't go where they're going, but they can go where I'm going because they haven't died in unbelief yet.
Right. So
isn't that a great motivation to lead people to faith in Christ because you want them to be with you and with the Lord Jesus forever?
This whole conversation, and I know you hear it all the time, we all hear it all the time, difference between believing and trusting.
Right.
I was a military chaplain for a number of years, and as a military chaplain, I hung out with the medics. I remember there was a young medic. He came to me and he said he believed. He believed. He was all excited about it. I had Bible studies. He came to it, all that. But in his mind, he kept just saying, I've got to trust. I've got to trust. And now for him, what it meant was that he had to be a witness in front of the other army medics, the young guys. And these guys were rambunctious. Let's just say they were rambunctious. And he did it for 3 or 4 months. But then he quit. He started doing what they were doing on the weekends and stuff like that. And he said, he goes, well, I just wasn't willing to trust. To him, trusting meant that he would be a witness and live a godly life in front of these people as they were making fun of him and doing all. So that's what he meant. And that's where it seems to me where it's always going to lead when you start making those distinctions.
Yeah. I think part of the reason is people look at it and they say, believing facts is not enough. And so now either they hold the Lordship salvation, or if they hold to what's called free grace theology, but they're really uncomfortable with people being born again simply by being persuaded that Jesus guarantees them eternal life by faith, they end up holding some sort of a view that's inconsistent with what they claim to believe. In other words, they claim to believe in justification by faith alone, but then they say you can't be justified by faith alone. You've got to also have trust.
Yeah, and I will tell you, the whole wheelbarrow thing across the Niagara Falls, when I hear that, I'm like, wow, no, I believe you could do that, but I'm not going to get in that wheelbarrow because maybe I'm afraid of heights. I mean, I just think it's a lousy.
I don't want to puke on the way over.
Exactly.
And not only that, if this was like Jesus,
right.
The moment I believed, he would take me across as he promised Where would I be?
You'd be across.
I would. There'd be no getting in the barrel. I would simply appear, poof, on the other side.
That whole illustration to me always seems a little strange, because if you're saying that this is an illustration of saving faith, if you take that to heart, you're going to say, okay, then I need to do something. My medic friend, I need to, there's just something that's hard to do, and I need to do it. But if I really believe it, I'm going to trust in this way.
All right, let me give you, if the issue is getting in a wheelbarrow, we know if we've done that or not, right?
Right.
If the issue is sitting in a chair, we know if we've done that or not. If the issue is getting on the lifeboat, we know if we've done that or not. But how do you know you've gotten into Jesus? If trusting is more than believing, how do I know I've done that? I don't think there's an answer for that question.
Right.
I think you end up going, I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die, because I don't know if I've trusted him.
And that's why I think it's appealing, like you said, because most unbelievers think you have to do some kind of work. So this is appealing to me, but I'll never know if I did that work or not.
But even if the people say there is no work, it's simply by trusting in Christ, whatever that trusting is, they will say it's more than intellectual assent. It's more than being persuaded. There's an intellectual component, but there's also an emotional and a willful component. And once you bring that in, now assurance, it seems to me, becomes impossible.
How did I know my emotions were right?
And how do I know I have the right willful response, whatever that means?
Right.
How do I know I've gotten into the wheelbarrow that is Jesus? You either believe something or you don't. There's no second step. All right. Thanks, y'all. Keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Soteriology, pastoral ministry, survey of the Old Testament, Bible study with Logos Bible Software, theology proper, pneumatology, and Christology. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, please email us and let us know of your interest. GESClass@yahoo.com. That's GESClass@yahoo.com. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, what does John mean when he says passed from death unto life? This little phrase is only used two times in the New Testament, and John is the one that says it both times. And does he mean exactly the same thing both times he says it? Join us for our next discussion on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.